The Putin regime are very worried about these elections. Yedina Rossiya couldn't have a worse standing in public opinion.
We see people under arrest. We see people fleeing the country because they've been threatened with political prosecutions.
It's difficult to observe such negative developments in your country.
The upcoming Duma elections in Russia will define the composition of Russia's lower house of parliament for the next 5 years. They come at a testing time for the pro-Putin ruling party, Yedina Rossiya, whose popularity has plummeted following the controversial decision in 2018 to raise the state retirement age, and more recently, its mishandling of the pandemic. In this Global Insight podcast, we look at the continued efforts by the Russian authorities to suppress dissent and silence critics, like Alexei Navalny, and what these measures mean for the rule of law. First, we speak to Maria Logan, who acted as legal counsel to Mikhail Khodorkovsky while the Kremlin critic was imprisoned in Russia. She says legislation clamping down on foreign-funded organisations and so-called undesirable and extremist groups are tightening the screws on political freedoms in the country ahead of the Duma elections.
So now you have these three laws, very repressive laws. Some of these laws are very broadly defined and written in a way that allows a lot of interpretation, a lot of subjectivity. So essentially, the government can go after anyone inside Russia that they think disagrees with the official line, disagrees with the way things are, disagrees with Kremlin, and put them in prison. So they're very repressive in nature, and the use of those legislations is increasing. You see more and more people leading up to the elections, Duma elections in September of this year. The use of this law has increased because, you know, anyone who is either participating in the election campaigns of independent candidates or independent candidates themselves campaigning for a seat in Duma, they're being targeted with one of those laws. They either affiliated with Navalny organization or they provided funding for the foundation of to fight corruption, or they repost in social media information about those organizations, either undesirable or extremist, or you're a foreign agent that excludes you from essentially participating in the election campaign or supporting candidates or participating in some, you know, candidates' campaigns. So we see people under arrest. We see people fleeing the country because they're being threatened with political prosecutions. We see people detained and facing real prison terms leading up to these elections in Duma.
Logan says the atmosphere has had the desired chilling effect on civil society.
The country is in a state where, there's no rule of law. Courts decide whatever the power wants them to decide. There's no independent judiciary. There's torture in the prisons. There's all sorts of violations of rights, and the atmosphere is such that if you are trying to defend someone, if you're trying to protect someone's human rights or stand behind those people, you're being punished yourself. So the atmosphere is very difficult for people to do the work and protect the human rights of others, and it will only deteriorate at this stage.
Russian's human rights lawyer, Galina Arapova, leads the Mass Media Defence Centre in Voronezh. She voices her concerns about the increasingly draconian measures to silence the opposition.
I think it's extremely concerning because instead of developing civil society and the country towards respect of human rights, we observe backsliding, and we observe a high number of violation of human rights in Russia. And unfortunately, due to lack of independence of judiciary and crisis of judiciary, I would say, it's extremely difficult to prove the truth and to prove in cases of human rights violations that someone is actually suffering because his freedom of expression or privacy or the right not to be tortured have been violated. So we see this on a daily basis. And unfortunately, the very fact that parliament is passing one law after another, which introduces new and new restrictions on human rights, on civil society, on human rights defenders, we understand that we're kind of like on a different scale and have totally different understanding of how things should work in a democratic society with our government. So it's difficult to observe such negative developments in your country.
Arapova says journalists and media outlets continue to be under threat.
Russian election legislation doesn't allow media to cover elections as media should do it, independently criticizing platforms or programs of particular candidates. They can only publish materials provided by political parties. That's it. So in this case, as you see, it's not a real election process, unfortunately. So we don't expect anything good. And some political analysts, they say that after elections, situation might become even worse. We try to provide our support to journalists to support pluralism in media, even though it's extremely difficult to reach proper level of pluralism as in media and in online information platforms, as it should be in a democratic society. Even though quite lately independent journalists and investigative journalists have been under extreme pressure, we've noticed, we've observed searches in their houses, investigative journalism projects have been designated as foreign agents and one as an undesirable organization. Each Friday brings us groups of journalists designated as foreign agents individually, and we do understand that like that, this pattern will continue till the elections and probably after that, until all the independent journalists in Russia is either demolished or under extreme pressure when they can't even operate. We do understand that in this environment, it's extremely difficult to work, but journalists are trying and we are trying to support them.
Sir Tony Brinton was UK ambassador to Moscow from 2004 to 2008. He is concerned about the increasingly heavy-handed reach of the Russian security agencies on all aspects of everyday life.
Undoubtedly, this has become very much more apparent over the last few months, in effect, with the return of Navalny and his arrest. The Putin regime are very worried about these elections, because while Putin's popularity with the Russian people remains pretty strong, his political party, Yedinaya Rossiya, couldn't have a worse standing in public opinion. I mean, candidates for Yedinaya Rossiya in some recent local elections actually stood as independents rather than acknowledging their relationship to the party. And all the signs are, and what Navalny was doing, which really annoyed Putin, was encouraging voters to go for any alternative to Yedinaya Rossiya, whichever one was going to work. Now, the response to that has been, in effect, unleashing the security sector to arrest any visible opposition politician, close down websites and other newspapers and so on connected to the opposition, to move much closer to what we think of as a normal autocratic regime. Now, the effect that that's going to have, it's an interesting question, because the Russian people aren't stupid, but they are kind of running out of alternatives to voting for official candidates. The Russians will be very cautious. I mean, they do, of course, there's lots of adjusting of results in a quiet way. But the one time they seriously tried a massive fixing of the elections, which was back in 2011, the pushback, the vast demonstrations and so on, were the most serious threat that Putin has ever faced. And they will want to avoid that at all costs. So they will be limited in the amount of actually recounting, if I can put it that way, that is allowed. My guess is that what they've done and the pressures and the fixing will be enough to produce a positive result for Putin, but undoubtedly the regime is very nervous.
Logan says laws, such as the Magnitsky Act, will help keep the Russian government in check, but that it's still incumbent on US President Joe Biden and other world leaders to protect human rights in the country.
in the rule of law societies, we have to prove a lot of things before we, you know, punish people and use the legislation like the Magnitsky Bill. So there's some reluctance, some political reluctance to go after the bad guys. And I think this is something that can be looked again and on the enforcement side of those laws so that they don't just remain symbolic. They actually become an effective tool to fight corruption and fight people who violate human rights. I think with the new Biden administration, the narrative is the right one. I think Biden said a lot of right words at his press conference after the summit in Geneva. So I think that was applauded by a lot of activists and human rights defenders in Russia. So finally, someone stands there as the leader of the world and says the right things about human rights and values. He understands. But what's more important is what actions will follow.
Brenton agrees that the Biden-Putin meeting was a positive step for Russia's relations with the West.
The Biden-Putin summit was actually a fascinating occasion. And what Biden is plainly doing is talking very tough while actually looking for some sort of slight rapprochement with Russia. The fact that they're now talking about cyber, which the Americans had said very firmly they would never do, as one of the products of the meeting. They're talking about strategic cooperation of one sort and another. Biden has abandoned a big opposition to a big gas project that Russia was involved in. There are all sorts of signs that the United States, because it's much more worried about China, is looking for a way of getting the Russia problem, as they see it, a bit more under control.
However, Brenton warns that, whatever the results of the parliamentary elections in September, little is likely to change in Russia in the short term.
If Yedinaya Rossiya loses the elections, which is, as I say, not inconceivable, that will be seen as a significant setback for Putin and his regime, and he will be seen as being more exposed to international pressure. There's a conception in the West that the way to handle Russia is to stay tough. Putin at the moment is obviously an immovable object, but sooner or later, either through popular protests or because of an elite-launched revolt, he will fall. Now, the evidence is, I mean, Putin, of course, Russia's going through bad economic times and all of that, and you would expect that to damage his popularity, although it hasn't visibly very much. But that general expectation, I'm quite convinced, is wrong. Both Russian people, for the reasons I've described, and the elite, because Putin is the only sort of bond that holds a lot of warring clans together, remain firmly in support of him. And many people in the West are saying, let's just wait till Putin goes and then we can have a better relationship. That, as I say, is a mistake. We need to get used to the fact that Putin is there, that the approach of his regime is there. Even if he goes, we will almost certainly get some sort of clone to replace him. And we're going to need to adapt our international expectations to acknowledge that the Russia that we've got is the Russia that we're going to be living with for quite a long time to come.